From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. One day after replacing his top general in Afghanistan, President Obama seems to be softening his promise to begin removing troops in July of next year. NPR's Maura Liasson reports.
In a White House press conference with visiting Russian President Dmitry Medvedev, Mr. Obama said that despite his promise of a withdrawal start date, significant numbers of U.S. troops will be in Afghanistan for a long time. The president said that the policy he announced would begin a transition phase next year in which the Afghan government takes more responsibility for its own security.
We did not say that starting July 2011, suddenly there would be no troops from the United States or allied countries in Afghanistan. We didn't say we'd be switching off the lights and closing the door behind us.
In December of this year, Mr. Obama said, he'll conduct a review to see if the strategy is working. Maura Liasson, NPR News, The White House.
Former Enron executive Jeffrey Skilling's prison term is now in question. As NPR's Kerry Johnson explains, the Supreme Court has erased a fraud charge against him.
Jeffrey Skilling says the entire fraud case against him must fall like dominoes because the Supreme Court wiped away one criminal charge. A majority of the court says the Honest Services fraud law applies only to kickbacks and bribes, not to the allegations that Skilling put his own interests above shareholders. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg wrote the opinion for the majority. She says a lower court will decide whether the ruling will infect the entire case against Skilling or whether it amounts to a harmless mistake. Skilling wants to use the Supreme Court decision to reduce his 24-year prison term. The majority of the justices say Skilling received a fair trial. But Justice Sonia Sotomayor takes issue. She says the court understates the depth of hostility toward Skilling in Houston. Kerry Johnson, NPR News, Washington.
The mayor of Bridgeport, Connecticut, has declared a state of emergency. That's after a fast-moving storm tore through the city, shaking bricks loose from buildings, toppling trees, and crushing cars. Steve Kwasnick is a librarian there and says the storm hit with little warning and then was gone.
It was amazing. It really lasted for no more than like 10 minutes, but there's a whole lot of damage outside.
Officials are looking at whether a possible tornado was involved. Rescuers were also checking at least one collapsed building to make sure no one was trapped. Senate Republicans have voted to kill legislation that would have provided continued unemployment checks to millions of people and given states billions of dollars to avert layoffs. During the recession, Congress approved legislation that would restore 73 weeks of extra benefits on top of the 26 weeks typically provided by states. 57-41 loss is a major blow for the Obama administration. Another day of mixed economic news, including some weak jobs numbers, sent the Dow tumbling. Dow was down 145 points. The Nasdaq dropped 36. This is NPR. As world leaders prepare to gather for this weekend's G20 economic summit, they may not be able to pull together quite the united front of a year ago when the global economy was facing a severe economic crisis. Britain, Japan, and Australia are sending new leaders to this year's G20 meeting near Toronto. The first session, a meeting of the 8 leading industrial democracies, the U.S., Canada, Britain, Germany, France, Italy, Japan, and Russia, is scheduled for Friday and parts of Saturday. American John Isner has won the longest tennis match in history. Today at Wimbledon, Isner beat Nicolas Mahut of France 70 games to 68 games in the fifth set of their epic first-round match. It stretched over 3 days and was suspended twice because of darkness, NPR's Tom Goldman reports.
With a two-handed backhand down the line in the 138th game of the fifth set, John Isner finally ended the match, a record 11 hours, 5 minutes after it began on Tuesday. The fifth set alone, over 2 days, lasted 8 hours and 11 minutes. Isner set a record for service aces with 112. Beyond the numbers, the match was a riveting battle of wills. Over and over, each player responded to pressure situations with winning shots. After the match, televised on ESPN, Isner called Hugh, an absolute warrior.
To be able to, you know, share this day with him was an absolute honor. I wish him nothing but the best, and you know, maybe I'll see him somewhere down the road and it won't go 70-68.
Isner moves on to the second round. Both men are entered in doubles competition. Tom Goldman, NPR News.
Crude oil futures prices closed higher. The price of oil was up 16 cents a barrel, ending the session at $76.51 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.